Dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, the one who is, was, and yes, is still to come. Amen. Our title for this Resurrection Day message is simply, Let's Run With It. That phrase, let's run with it, it's rather an idiomatic phrase in our English language. Most likely it has its roots with sports, maybe even American football, where you hand off the football to somebody who's running, and they literally run with the ball. But we also use it in less formal ways to say, let's run with it. Let's go with that idea. Let's keep it going that direction. Let's promote that. So I'm drawn to this phrase, let's run with it, for Resurrection Day celebration, because on that first resurrection day, the day that Jesus rose from the grave and left his tomb empty, there was a lot of running. The Marys, they ran when they heard the news from the angel at the tomb. And by the way, let's run with it, I think, works at another level. You might even think of running a news story. If the editor of a newspaper says, let's run it, that means promote it. Let's get all the copies of the newspaper out there. Let's spread this news. Let's run it. And so when I think of a newspaper article, I think a little bit of my very, very brief experience with writing a newspaper article. I was a freshman in college, and somebody came up to me and said, you know, we're looking for someone to write for the student newspaper and go to the ball games and write a story about how the basketball game went, how the baseball game went. I'd never written a news story. That was before you could Google. So I think I might have gone to the library and I found a book, and it made a big deal about WH questions. Who, what, where, when, how. And so I thought, let's connect with those WH questions as we explore Resurrection Day. When we think of the gospel, who were the Marys that arrived at the tomb? Well, one, the scripture says, is Mary Magdalene. The other Mary, scholars tell us, was probably Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. They were very devoted followers of Jesus. Why were they there? It was customary and respectful that when someone had died, you would go to the tomb, and often it fell to the ladies to do this. They would take spices to the tomb. It was sort of their form of embalming. Being respectful of Jesus, they were going to place spices around his body. What did they discover? Jesus was not there. And they found out from the angel, it wasn't because somebody snuck into the tomb somehow and stole his body. No, he had risen from the dead. Amazing, wonderful. Why did they run? Well, this was big news. And it wasn't just a metaphorical kind of, let's run with it, like running a newspaper article. They literally ran. Something big had happened. And when something big happens, running takes place. For example, if all of a sudden, all of us would be seen opening those back doors of the chapel and running out, or in many cases when we struggle with that, we'd be attempting to run out or move as fast as we can out that door, that would mean something big has happened. Something wonderfully big and significant had happened. And the Marys, they ran with it. But not only did the Marys run, but so did Peter and John, as recorded in John 20. Keeping with our newspaper article development, the WH questions, it's obvious, I know, but who are Peter and John that started running around with the news of the resurrection? Well, Peter, of course, was that most prominent disciple. He was the lead disciple. He was the one that had a tendency to do things and then think about consequence later. He was impetuous, you might say. John was Jesus' closest friend. The way the scriptures describe that is, he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And it was John, when Jesus was on the cross on Good Friday, he looked at John and said, "Behold your mother." And he looked at his mom, another Mary, and said, "Behold your son." They were close. What did John and Peter hear? What did they discover? It's the same news. Jesus, the crucified one, the one who we celebrated on Good Friday for his willing sacrifice for our sins, he was alive, setting him apart from every other great world leader throughout history. His tomb empty, powerful. They ran as well. Why did they run? Well, like blood, that tends to be bad news and sends people running, so is really good news. Good news sends us running. The seemingly bad news of Good Friday sent them running like rabbits to their holes to hide, but the really good news of the first Easter Sunday sent them running to publish the good news that Jesus' tomb was empty. And you know, the running of Easter is to continue amongst God's people. Sometimes we do it in a bit of a symbolic way. I'm reminded in my ministry experience that years ago, the congregation I was serving, we decided to do a resurrection run, partly because of all the running that Scripture records. We began by going to the local cemetery and doing an Easter sunrise service, mindful that someday when Jesus returns, that even cemeteries will be filled with life. And we started the mantra, he's risen indeed, hallelujah, as we met at the cemetery. And then we gathered the runners at the conclusion of the service, and they lined up, and rather than sending them with "on your mark, get set, go," we sent them with "he's risen." And they took off running, some cases walking. They did a 5K, and as they reached the finish line, they said, "He's risen indeed, hallelujah." And that was to continue the mantra throughout the morning, to continue running with the news that Jesus' tomb is empty. The church runs with that news today. Who is the church, to use one of those WH questions? All who embrace Jesus as the second person of the Trinity, as the one and only Savior from sin, as the one who delivers us through his work on the cross from sin, death, and the power of the devil. We are the church. We are the invisible body of Christ. There are people of the church that live all over the world. What have we, the church, heard and discovered? We have also heard and discovered that Jesus really did live for us. He really died for us, and yes, he really rose for us. Why do we run, or how do we run? It may be metaphorical for many of us at this point, but we still run. We run with the news. We publish the news. We are reminded of Matthew 28, where Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." We are to publish that. And we are to continue the mantra that Jesus has risen from the dead. Indeed, he's risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. That phrase has been rippling through congregations throughout our country and throughout the world. We run with Easter joy and Easter certainty. when we realize that when we worship on Sunday, that every Sunday is a little celebration of Easter. In fact, I've often thought, what a great tagline for a church. Something like this: St. Paul Lutheran Church, where every Sunday is Easter. Or Laclede Groves Chapel, where every Sunday is Easter. That's why we get together on Sundays, isn't it? Because that first Easter was on a Sunday. So let's bring things to a close. Let's catch our breath, if you will, after talking about all this running. But I'm going to ask you to participate a bit toward the end of the sermon. Suffice it to say that running is something that happened much at the news of Jesus' tomb being empty. And know this, there are other times when running happened in Scripture that are very powerful as well. Remember when Jesus told about the prodigal son? When that wayward son came home, what did the father do? He ran toward him out of love, something that a dignified Jewish man generally did not do. He ran. In many ways, that's our God. Our God, because we are wayward sons and daughters in need of saving, he sent Jesus to run toward us. And out of love, God sent his best to live a perfect life for us, something we can't do. To die a sacrificial death to make payment for our sin, a payment that we cannot make ourselves. To rise victorious from the dead, something we cannot do by our own power, only in him. It is this running of the Father toward us that ultimately sent Mary running, the two Marys. It ultimately sent Peter and John running. It sends us running with that wonderful resurrection mantra. There is something about running together. I'm not a runner, but I'm told that oftentimes runners get together. They might even have a running club. It keeps them accountable. They can encourage each other when they're winded and running low on energy. For us this morning, let's run together with our mantra. I'm going to say, he's risen. And you're going to say, he's risen indeed, alleluia. We're not going to do it one time. We're going to do it three times because we believe in a triune God, don't we? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's run together today with this mantra. He's risen. He's risen. He's risen. And to this, all of God's people say, Amen.